All right. My name is Ethan Knight. I am 14 years old. Today is the 5th of December, 2021. And I'm speaking with my grandfather, or John Adams, who is my grandfather. We are in Madison, Mississippi. So I'm going to start off with some questions.
Okay.
What were your parents like?
They both worked.
They both worked?
Yeah, they both worked. They both worked for a garment factory called Kelwood back in the 1950s. They both worked. We lived in the country, probably about 10 miles out of the closest town, which was Summit. Mm-hmm. And my father worked at Summit, at that Kelwood, and my mother worked at the Macomb Kelwood. They made garments. Macomb plant made garments for Sears and J.C. Penney at that plant there. You know, they made mm-hmm. garments. They made garments for that.
Is that why you decided to work at J.C. Penney?
Not really. No, not really.
You just decided to work there?
Well, I joined the Air Force maybe a year after I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And I was gone for 4 years. 1 year I spent in San Angelo, Texas. Then I was transferred to Zweibrück in Germany and spent 3 years in Germany.
What did you do in Germany?
All right. I went to school in San Angelo for a year to become an intelligence analyst. We had a top secret security clearance. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to Zweibrück in Germany, they intercepted radio transmissions, and we analyzed those transmissions. That was back when U.S., United States, and Russia were on the verge of war. You know, it was just tensions were so high. The leader of Germany was Khrushchev, and he was always bragging about what he's going to do, you know, to bury the Americans and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so there was a lot of tension between the two countries, between Russia and the United States. And there would be radio intercepts. And we'd analyze those intercepts as far as...
to see if anything was happening.
Yeah, yeah. It's important. Some of it was just local, you know, stuff, transactions. Mm-hmm. They were talking, like family or friends or something like that. Some of it was the actual leadership of countries, you know, talking. Mm. But that's what I did for 4 years. And then after my 4 years was up, I came back home. And I went to work. I'd worked for J.C. Penney in my high school year in the stock room before I joined the Air Force, you know. Mm-hmm. I worked for J.C. Penney. It was downtown Macomb, Mississippi. So when I came back, I just went back to J.C. Penney and worked J.C. Penney again. J.C. Penney. And lo and behold, next door there was a drugstore. Back in the 50s, 60s, you know, now they call pharmacies. They were called drugstores back then. Mm-hmm. And all the local drugstores had a soda fountain. You know, that was a big thing. Soda mm-hmm. fountains were big in the 50s, 60s, you know, that era. And so next door was another shop, and next to it was a soda fountain. And this particular one in Macomb had stairs that went down to where the soda fountain actually was. Uh-huh. And so there was a young girl working there. Her name was Denise. mm-hmm. Her name was Denise Havers. And lo and behold, probably maybe a year and a half later, we were engaged and we got married.
That was fast.
So I met my wife next door from J.C. Penney. And so then I went to Mississippi State and got a degree from Mississippi State in business. And And then I started working, and I really didn't want a career.
A business career?
Yeah, I didn't really want a business career. And so I had this understanding that I was being called to ministry. That's how I ended up pastoring churches for most all my life. Most of them were small country churches, you know, not large congregations like you have here. Mm-hmm. There were small congregations. And I pastored several in Franklin County, different times, several pastors.
Did you enjoy being a pastor?
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great, yeah. I was just a people person, of course.
You like talking?
Yeah. And, of course, my wife was good with that, you know. She had no problem with that. And our children were born at different times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother was the first child.
First? Yeah.
Yeah, she was the oldest. She's the oldest child. And then Karen, then Aaron. That's three daughters. And now I have, see, how many grandkids I got now?
You got me, Emily.
Two.
Hank and Hayden.
Four.
Addie.
Haynes and Callan.
Haynes and Callan, so that'll be seven.
We have seven grandkids now.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get to see them often. You're the closest to us.
Yeah.
And so Aaron lives about 3 miles from where I grew up in the country.
Oh.
Yeah. Boca Chica, a little community called Boca Chica.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I grew up, actually grew up in the country till years later we moved to Summit. My father and mother moved to Summit.
And then they started working there?
Yeah. Yeah, they started working.
Well, back to the military thing. Do you remember why you decided to join the military?
Not really. I don't really remember any particular reason, you know, that drew me to the military. But I talked to a recruiter, and of course, recruiter's always glad to help people sign up. And so it worked out great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my 4 years in the Air Force.
Are you glad you were an intelligence person and not someone who actually went out and trained to shoot people?
Well, the Air Force really didn't do that much. It was more the Army thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, than the Air Force. Actually, Air Force. Of course, I wasn't a pilot. You had to, you know, there was Air Force famous for its pilots, you know, but I didn't have that training and really wasn't pulled that away, you know, But so I went to Germany, Zweibrücken in Germany for 2 years. Zweibrücken in Germany was a very famous little town. It had a history. Years ago when Patton came through with his tanks, when they invaded.
Invaded Germany?
When they invaded, Patton sent a representative down to accept the town surrender. And the Germans killed that guy that was sent down. So there was three mountains around Zweibrücken. Patton placed his tanks on all three of those mountains and demolished this little town of Zweibrücken.
Oh.
But then it grew back, you know, years later, grew back. And Americans were accepted, you know, years later. There was a lot of tension early, but, you know, years later, there was no tension.
Yeah. Do you know of anyone else before you in your family that joined the military? Like grandfather, parent?
Not really.
Nobody else?
Nobody. Okay. Nobody in the military besides me. Hadn't been anybody since.
Yeah.
Unless you're thinking about it.
What did Grammy think when you started losing hair?
Grammy? I guess it really, she didn't really say anything about it, you know? Didn't really say anything about it. It's this process of growing old.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Adamses, all of them got pretty similar features. You know, several of them have lost hair, so it's a characteristic of that family.
Maybe one day I'll start losing hair.
Oh, no, you don't want to do that. But that was a characteristic of that family. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was school like for you growing up, or do you remember?
What was school like? Well, first went to a little school called Johnson Station. The bus would come by and pick us up and would transfer us. It was probably about 10 to 15 miles away. Mm-hmm. We'd ride the bus to that little school. And I spent, I think, 2 years there, maybe three. Then my parents moved from the country to Summit, a little town called Summit. And so, naturally, from that time on, I went to Summit School. You know, first of all, the second, third, you know, the lower grades. And then the last year of my sister's schooling at Summit, that was the last year that school operated. They closed that school. That school closed down. And all the Summit students were sent to Macomb High School. Macomb High School, mm-hmm. That was the major school, you know, Macomb. So I lived in Summit and I walked probably 5 miles to the old school, where the old school used to be. Mm-hmm. And we would catch the bus there and then ride the bus from that school, the old Summit School, to Macomb High, to that school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there would, of course, obviously, we rode the school bus back, coming home. But I graduated Macomb High.
Do you remember if there's any specific reason that the school in Summit closed down?
That was just a consolidation of schools during that time, that era. They were consolidating because there were little tiny schools just about all over the state.
So they were grouping them up into one big school?
They were into larger schools, larger districts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because back then, in the 50s, every little community like Summit would have their own school.
Mm-hmm.
They would have grammar school. And then it would have, you know, the seventh and eighth, you know, the intermediate grades, and then the last mm-hmm. years, 10 through 12. And my sister was in the last graduating class of Summit High School.
Did, I'm pretty sure segregation was still around, so did it affect you in any way?
Well, it was all black and white. The blacks had their own school back in that era, you know, in that era. And for years, even after we sent to Macomb, it was still all white. Mm-hmm. You know, and even Macomb, they had their own school system. It was apart from the Macomb High School.
Yeah.
And so it was that gap of segregation that was common in 50s, 60s, you know, that era.
Yeah.
That era. But then it was several years after I graduated from high school and went, you know, started raising family and all that, that they actually consolidated all the school systems, and there was no separation between
mm-hmm.
the blacks and the whites after that.
Yeah.
And so it was just one school system after that.
Yeah. What did you think of segregation? Did you not like it?
I never thought anything about it. You know, it was just a way of life.
just there.
Yeah, it was just there. You know, it was just there. You know, it was when you're growing up as a kid, you know, it's just there, you know. It's part of life. It's part of life. Of course, now, the school system would be integrated, obviously, you know. It would be integrated.
Yeah. So back to the jobs. Is there any job, if you could, that... Or if you could change jobs, what would you change to, or would you stop working?
Well, most of my life I pastored churches.
Yeah.
As far as actual, you know, after I got older and got out of the service and went to Mississippi State and all that, you know, then I felt that call to ministry. I started out with a little small church, and most of them were in rural Franklin County, you know. Rural Franklin County is where I pastored most of my churches. There was probably several different churches I pastored during my...
Yeah.
I don't really remember. It's been quite a few years of
And you pastored ministry. The one that we went to a couple months ago, where you came on and gave a sermon.
Oh, yeah, that was my last church. That was my final church. Yeah, I pastored it for 20-something years. Yeah, I was pastor there for several years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is my last question.
Okay.
But is there anything you wish you could have done differently in your life?
Not really. I never thought about it.
Nothing.
Nothing really. Nothing you regret? It excited me. Nothing I regret. You know, I had a great life. Married a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Have great kids and grandkids. Couldn't ask for more, you know. Not really. You really couldn't ask for more. Well, society today is so much going on that, you know, that we didn't encounter like years ago. But of course, we had problems that now they don't have, you know.
Yeah, so every things generation, changed.
Everything's changed. I think it's... you never go back the way things were, you know. I have no desire to go back the way things were, you know, because I worked with JCPenney. You know, I'd worked for them, you know, I told you, part-time in high school, and then when I got out of the military, I worked for them.
And you worked for them again.
And then years later, I worked for them. Then after I quit pastoring, I went to work for JCPenney.
Yeah.
It's like a circle. You just keep going around the circle.
Work for it, do something, work for it, do something else, and work for them again.
Yeah. It's just, never thought anything about it. It's just the way life has gone. Wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
Wouldn't trade it for the world.
That
had a wonderful wife, wonderful grandkids, wonderful children, wonderful in-laws, you know, son-in-laws.
Mm-hmm. Everything's been good.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't want anything better. Mm-mm. No. I've been blessed. That's the word you use. Blessed. Much. Yeah. Really blessed. Really blessed.
Well, that would be the end of the interview.
All right. I went back. Because I pastored so many churches, I was called to a lot of funerals. I walked in front of a lot of caskets through my years of ministry. I walked in front of a lot of caskets as a pastor, you know, through my years of ministry. And so... which was a great blessing, you know, to be able to minister to folks, even at the families. Yeah, it was a great blessing. But I have been richly blessed.
Yeah.
And still are richly blessed. Still are richly blessed. But life has been good for me. It really has. It's been great. I've been a wonderful wife, wonderful children, wonderful grandkids. It's just, you know, a person couldn't want anything more, you know. Enjoyed working in the areas that I worked at that particular time, you know, military, pastoring churches and all that. I wouldn't go back and change anything. There's nothing I would go back and change.
You're happy with how everything was?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't imagine being any better, you know. I can't imagine being any better.
Yeah.
But you have a wonderful mom and dad.
Yeah, I think
and
so
sister.
Too.
You may not say agree on the sister part, but you will.
I'd say I agree with it, but most of the time I don't show it.
You just don't show it. I understand. Yeah. But it's been a wonderful life. Been a wonderful life. Yep. And I'm 77 now, and so moving on up there.
Yeah.
Yep. Then after that, if you're still around, you're in the 80s. So only the Lord knows.
Yeah.
Only the Lord knows.
Only time will tell.
But a lot of people can't believe I'm 77 because of my physical condition, you know, because a lot of people. This age have deteriorated so much in health problems.
Yeah, but you're doing pretty good.
Oh, I've been blessed. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really great. Yeah, but I work with a lot of people at JCPenney who have family that, you know, have a lot of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So just be thankful for your health and take care of yourself.
Thankful
for your health. Yeah.
I try to take care of myself.
I eat a lot of junk food, but I eat a lot of good food.
So it kind of balances out.
It balances out, yeah. So that's pretty well my life story. I grew up in a, started out in the country, and went, moved to a little small town, just grew up, had one street in the little town of Summit. They only had one street.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful life.
All right, well, I'm gonna end the interview then.
All right.